SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Vous êtes avec SBS French. Retrouvez les rubriques sur sbs.com.au/French.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.
Professor John Maynard is a distinguished Wurundjeri historian and the chair of Indigenous History at the University of Newcastle, renowned for his groundbreaking research on Aboriginal political activism and contributions to Australian historiography, including his influential book Aborigines and the Sport of Kings. I'm glad to say Professor Maynard has joined us in the context of Melbourne Cup 2024. Professor John Maynard, first of all, thanks for accepting our invitation to share your insights into First Nations participation in the racing industry.
It's a pleasure, buddy.
Going straight into the topic of the day, how has First Nations participation in Australian horse racing evolved since the early days of the sport, and what progress do you see leading up to the 2024 Melbourne Cup?
Our involvement with racing goes back a long way, and I mean it goes back to our take up into the stock industry, and Aboriginal men and women were the backbone of the Australian stock industry. And through that process of horse riding, many displayed great skills in the saddle, and consequently in the 19th century were taken up as jockeys, and that progressed on into the 20th century. And I guess the two sports that Aboriginal people got a go at were boxing and horse racing, and in both of those instances your life is at risk. People die from race falls, and they die in the ring. But other sports, there were barriers, colour bars of barrier to Aboriginal people participating. So horse racing and boxing gave us an avenue for sporting involvement. Across recent decades, of course, I mean, the last four or five decades, I mean, the doors have opened to AFL and rugby league. And that has changed that dynamic. And we don't see as many Aboriginal jockeys and certainly Aboriginal boxers as we did in the past, because the big sports for us, you know, with the doors open, are of course rugby league and AFL.
And what were the barriers, if there were any? Because you spoke about barriers briefly, but in horse racing, what were the barriers for First Nations jockeys, trainers and owners?
It's an Aboriginal background. There were barriers to us right across the board in this country. Acceptance as people, as the First Nations people of this continent, and following invasion, occupation, dispossession, cultural destruction, children being taken away, all of the things that impacted onto us, and the confinement on Aboriginal reserves and missions, incredible control over Aboriginal lives. So these were the barriers that faced Aboriginal people across, you know, every aspect of life in this country for so many decades, which we're still trying to resolve.
Yeah. And Frank Reyes remains the only Indigenous jockey to win the Melbourne Cup. What factors do you think have contributed to the lack of Indigenous representation after such a groundbreaking result that he actually ushered in?
Frank Reyes, an outstanding jockey, and his win on Gala Supreme in the 1973 Melbourne Cup remains as our high point as far as the Melbourne Cup is concerned. But as I said before, I mean, the reality is that from that particular point in time, that was when the doors to other mainstream sports like rugby league and AFL began to open. And there were opportunities for Aboriginal kids to come onto the football field in both of those major codes. And of course, also, the stock industry is certainly today not what it was in the past. And So the Aboriginal people, you know, coming into the racing industry and following on Frankie Reyes' incredible achievements haven't been followed up, if you like, and that incredible success which we all enjoyed with Frank's brilliant ride in 73.
Yeah. Some steps are being taken to actually increase First Nations participation in the industry. Can say Racing Queensland has got a First Nations strategy, and Racing Victoria has also got an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Employment Program in increasing First Nations participation. How do you see the role of these initiatives actually succeeding in really strengthening First Nations participation?
Well, these are positive. These are really positive moves, and it's certainly something that's required. But as I said, in some respects, the horse has bolted, and you know, Aboriginal kids are looking to rugby league and AFL, you know, and that's men and boys and girls as far as sporting opportunities are concerned. But yeah, there is still a magnetism for us as far as the horse and racing, because there is such a long history there. And I hope those initiatives really come to the fore and produce other great riders, like, you know, Darby McCarthy, of course, you know, come from Cunnamulla and one of 12 in the family. And Darby, in an interview, said to me, I didn't come from the top end of Cunnamulla either, brother. Yeah. He said, on one side we had the sewerage outlet and the other side we had the garbage tip. But Darby McCarthy won the Epsom Handicap and the AJC Derby at Randwick in the one afternoon in 1968, and went on to ride in France, and he lived in a two-story mansion in Chantilly with a French maid and a chauffeur-driven car. You know, that was the incredible journey that he undertook. And, I mean, I have to say, I grew up on the race course in Newcastle. My father, Merv Maynard, was a top jockey. And the reason why I wrote the book, you know, Aboriginal Stars of the Turf and Aborigines in the Sport of Kings, was because I grew up alongside, you know, looking at Aboriginal jockeys like my father and Stan Johnson, Normie Rose, Gordon Taylor, Dennis Taylor. You know, all of these jockeys were riding, as I saw as a kid, right in front of me face, but they weren't in the racing histories. And that's why I wrote the book, because to, you know, bring to the wider attention the incredible history of Aboriginal involvement with the Sport of Kings.
Yeah, the Sport of Kings, and the King was here not a long time ago, last week actually, and well, one of our politicians didn't miss the opportunity to raise some rights and sovereignty questions. In your research, how has the recognition of Indigenous land rights and cultural heritage impacted the racing industry?
Well, I think they like many areas of Australian society, have a long way to go in recognising, you know, and that's what the country faces as a whole. You know, we are the sovereign people of this country, and our sovereignty has never been given. I mean, we acknowledge our connection to the country from the time before time began, and that's where we are. If the country is ever to heal and deal with the past, It needs to recognise this history. It's a great history, and recognising upwards of 65,000 years of Aboriginal history, which is this country's greatest treasure.
Yeah, and looking at the 2024 Melbourne Cup, how do you think increased awareness of Indigenous history and racing might influence public perception and engagement with the event?
Well, I think that they could do a lot more with that, and I think and promote that, you know, some of these stories. I mean, certainly, you know, I'm thinking of revising my book for next year, for 2025, and coincide it with the Melbourne Cup in 2025. But, you know, you're quite right. The racing industry does need to recognise. You see, football are doing that in a big way today, you know, with acknowledging Indigenous presence in their games, and promoting that connection in a big way, because it's such a strong connection, and racing to this point hasn't really done it. And I mean, I think the door's open for them to take up that baton.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, but that's just a personal view, that financial issues could be one of the factors, because getting into the industry is a costly thing, whereas things like rugby league or AFL or even boxing, entry to get into the sport is relatively accessible compared to racing.
Yeah, well, I know there, in the past there are a lot of opportunities for Aboriginal kids to ride. I mean, certainly in horse racing, because if they were light, I mean, you got to go, and if you were good enough, you certainly went up the ladder as far as that's concerned. And we've had many great riders, and it was a hard sport, and as I said, people got killed in racing. And my father, in his apprenticeship, lived in the stable of a trainer at the racecourse. I mean, in a little room, that was attached to the stable. Aboriginal people, like others, lived in poor conditions in their early times as jockeys. These were hard apprenticeships, and that's the story of the game, particularly in those early days.
And you just mentioned some really tough conditions. In your research, have you found examples of traditional indigenous horse practices or knowledge?
First off, I mean, of course, Aboriginal feared the horse because, people were riding around with guns and shooting Aboriginal people. And I mean, having not seen the horse before, it was like in North America, I mean, Native Americans and Aboriginal people here developed a great fear of the horse. The horse gave settlers an incredible advantage. They could cover distances at speed, and of course the intimidating nature of a large animal was put Aboriginal people off. But there are records of Aboriginal people stealing horses and making bark saddles and teaching themselves how to ride, traditional Aboriginal people teaching themselves how to ride. And that's the connection Aboriginal people have always had with certainly animals. And that was a deep connection. I remember my interview with Darby McCarthy, and I mean, that showcases, Aboriginal connection to animals. And he said to me, brother, he said, look, I had a great career, but it's all due to those beautiful animals. They carried me, and that's the reason why. But it also goes to that connection that Aboriginal people have with animals, and that's certainly the case with horses.
Yeah. Now, Professor Maynard, you've been really very generous with your time, but before I let you go, any final thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Oh, look, I think it's like so much of our history, horse racing and our involvement with it is... our history is like a giant jigsaw puzzle with most of the pieces missing. So we're still in the process of putting those pieces back into the puzzle. So this is just one of those stories, and important stories that we all carry. And I encourage our mob out there to get in and do their family and community histories, put their stories together, because this is the importance we need. I mean, I come through a school system of the 50s and 1960s, and we weren't in the history of this country. It was all about discoverers and explorers and settlers and white sportsmen. And, they were the stories that were being taught and are still to this day retained in many respects. But our stories are critically important in coming to the fore and telling of the courage and brilliance of our people over the last 230-odd years.
Professor John Maynard, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us on NITV Radio today. It's been a really, really great pleasure getting your insights into the racing industry today.
Pleasure for me too, buddy. Thank you.
Choisissez sbs.com.au/French comme page d'accueil de votre navigateur Internet. Retrouvez les dernières informations et actualités. Participez à nos sondages. Et contactez-nous. sbs.com.au/French.
Vous voulez entendre d'autres rubriques comme celle-ci? Écoutez-les sur Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify ou n'importe où vous obtenez vos podcasts.